perhaps for some of us tonight coming to church is totally alien, or it's evoking memories of something perhaps we used to do many, many years ago. Our conviction at Hope Church is that the Bible is utterly reliable and gives us a sure record of the most exciting news of all, which is discovered in the Lord Jesus. So I will take maybe 20 minutes, approaching 20 minutes, and just bring out some thoughts and share with you what, if you took the time, you'd only yourself discovered in these important verses in the beginning of John. And the four things which I've been reflecting on this week are that John is really keen to show us truth and light and life and love. The very things we all have the deepest instincts for and need for. Truth, light, life, and love. So we're going to look at each of those in turn. As John says, they are discovered in the Lord Jesus Christ. Then I want to reserve a minute or two to asking you a question as we begin to respond to what we hear. So truth. Truth John would present to us in Jesus coming to us in a world of confusion. That is the first thing which we're looking at now. Truth in a world of confusion at the end of this year, with the media that we all read and try to make sense of, with the leaders at a local or a political level who have responsibilities. Truth in a world, if you move in these worlds, of some church leadership scandals. Truth in a world where we are anxious to find the right data so that we can make important decisions about our health, safety, and well-being. Truth is hard to find, isn't it? It really is hard to find for all of us. And John begins his life account of Jesus by saying, famously, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. I read this passage recently, and a teenager who was listening, after we got to the end of that, said, you're reading Genesis. And that's not such a crazy idea, and that's not so wide of the mark, because if you know how the first lines of the Bible begin, they say, in the beginning, same as John, God created the heavens and the earth, which is his shorthand for all things, all of creation. And John is consciously wanting to lead us back to that great creation drama. And with that fixed in our minds, he's saying, and here is the one who planned and who created our world and our lives. And John takes this phrase or this word, the Word. And the Word here is filled with associations of thinking and reasoning and planning. But then most importantly, self-expression. The God who created this universe, John is saying to us, is not unknowable and he's not silent. But Christmas time is the time when God especially came to express himself, to declare to the world who he is, and to say to the world what the world certainly needs to hear. He is the Word. And if God, who is the source of all truth, speaks to the world, he's speaking truth in a confusing world. And that therefore makes Christmas very exciting, doesn't it? And very serious and very important, that God should want to speak to his creation and that God should enter his creation. The Word was with God. The Word was God. John is just beginning carefully to lead us into the mystery of God as Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, one God, distinct in three persons. And the Son of God, Jesus, comes from heaven to speak God's truth into our confused world and our confused lives. And just think for a moment before we go on to the next observation. The enormity of God stepping into and speaking into our world. If God spoke to you, would you recognize him? Would you know it's his voice? If the Bible were open one December evening in 2021, could you accept that God was speaking to you tonight? I read an interview with Jeff Hurst, the World Cup hat-trick hero, 1966. And back in the day when footballers weren't paid the money that they are paid now, when you finish in the game, you straight away had to find a job. And one of the early jobs that Jeff Hurst did, he sold insurance. And it was literally on the phone and on the doors. And he practiced with his wife being a hostile, tricky customer. And one day he was just working at his desk and rang a number he had on his list. "Hello, I'm Jeff Hurst at Abbey Life." And the fellow on the other end said, "If you're Jeff Hurst, I am," insert expletive, "Marilyn Monroe." Why on earth in about 1968 is somebody going to call you, claim they're Jeff Hurst, and you believe them? Why in 2021, as we engage with the Bible, with this claim that God, the Word, is addressing us, why are we going to believe that? And if God came to earth in Jesus Christ, you would recognize, wouldn't you? You would listen, wouldn't you? That's the first of John's astonishing claims, his challenging, exciting claims, that Jesus Christ is God's word, the truth for us to listen to in a world of confusion. And secondly, he is the light in a world of darkness. The light in a world of darkness. If you look at or listen to verse 4, John says of Jesus Christ, "In him was life. That life was the light of men." The light of all people who have ever lived. Their light is found in Jesus. And John's so excited by this truth that he goes back to it. So he says in verse 9, "The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world." Maybe you love Christmas because it's so hectic, it's so busy, there's so many things to do. As you get older, often you like Christmas because you're looking for a rest. We older folks aren't so bothered about the 12 sleeps to Christmas. That stresses us. We like the process of the 12 sleeps at Christmas or after Christmas. We like the rest. There are different things people like about Christmas. I think all of us like the Christmas lights. In the row where we live, we've got something of an arms race. It's not been stated, but there is a competition, an escalation in Christmas lights. In the house, on the house, outside the house, in the bushes, on the trees. I think they'll be on the cars next. Lights everywhere, and they're beautiful and just gorgeous. And as we're very nearly at the shortest day of the year, and that as we're very nearly at the end of such a long, dark, hard year, isn't it wonderful that Christmas is about light? Light of truth, the light of love, the light of hope. The light which John says has its source for all of us in the Lord Jesus. All our deepest needs find their source in Jesus. He comes into the world. And when people encounter him, they encounter light. He speaks the truth. He reaches out to the vulnerable, the rejected, the outcast. He says words which are often uncomfortable to those who want to hide the truth. He speaks words which thrill those whose lives have only been left to be led in darkness. We may struggle that John says that Jesus is the source of all true light. You might think that's very arrogant. What about other ways of looking at the world, making sense of life? Christians are being arrogant. Well, if you struggle with John or you struggle with what Christians believe, wait till you hear Jesus. Because Jesus says, and John records it later on in his gospel, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Now, John doesn't mean, nor does Jesus mean, that if we follow him, hey, it's all going to be brightness. No struggles, no tears, no crisis, no tragedies, no loss, no darkness. But the encouragement of Christ coming at Christmas means that that darkness, though it will come to all of the followers of Jesus, will not consume them, will not cover them forever. Because Christmas is the beginning of that great adventure, life lived with Jesus. And in him there's always light. There's always goodness. There's always hope. And there's always love. So truth, light in a world of darkness. And thirdly, life. Life in a world of death. Well, you don't want me to talk about death. I don't want to talk about death. So I'm not going to talk about death. But that's the world we live in. It's a sad place when nothing lasts and nobody lasts. But there's an incredible promise which John weaves into this first chapter where he says, He has to acknowledge many reject Jesus. They did then, they do today. John puts in a fabulous word, yet. It's his but, he says. To all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, nor a husband's will, but born of God. So those who receive him, they become God's children. They are welcomed into God's family. And God's family with God will live forever. Death will come to all of us. Of course it will. But for the followers of Jesus, just as his death was not his end, he rose on the third day. It won't be your end if you're a follower of Jesus. You have already life in a world of death. That is incredible and startling and controversial. But the resurrection of Jesus shouts, death is not the end. Naomi said a few minutes ago how important it is for the questions we have about the Christian faith to find their answers. And that's why we go to the Bible. That's why Christians say the Bible is so important. It is our source book for answers. And it brings one of the most uncomfortable, but ultimately thrilling challenges right to each of us. Is death the end? When we die, is that it? Well, look ahead to Easter, and what's the challenge? This man didn't. Jesus rose from the dead. He said he would. And he said that his rising from the dead is the foretaste that we will all rise to judgment or for those who trust in Jesus to everlasting, joy-filled, love-filled life. Given, as John says, the right to become his children. Or if you want to be reminded of the great Christmas carol, hark, the herald angels sing. Jesus was born that man no more may die, born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth, a brand new beginning, a confident hope in the face of death. John is saying that's what Christmas means. That's how big and important Christmas is. It's the entry of God's rescue mission to break the hold of death and to bring us into life as we trust in Jesus. So, what have we seen? Three out of four. Three out of four ain't bad. We're nearly there. Life, truth, light, the things we're longing for, the things we need. When we are done and we've enjoyed our refreshments, when the sugar rush is starting to ebb and it's time to go home, as you go out, I would love it if you were to pick up one of these little leaflets. This was written by a dear friend of mine called If Only Christmas Yearnings. The guy who wrote this little leaflet, Mike, was a journalist and a musician and an alcoholic. Alcohol in the early years were there for the good times. And then as the years went on, they became only the good times, the only time when life was good. Then after years of abusing himself, an incredible trauma and strain on his family, alcohol was the bad times for everybody. And Mike was always searching for belonging and truth and light and life. And he knew that alcohol gave him nothing but took everything. And one day, as a natural risk taker, he risked everything on Jesus Christ and discovered that Jesus Christ is thrillingly, life-transformingly alive and life-changing. And so he wrote this little booklet, and I would love for you to take a copy and think more as Christmas comes close about the truth, the life and the light which Jesus brings and offers to all of us. Now, fourthly and finally, Jesus brings love. If you were really alert, as Nicole read, you'd say, didn't hear that. Does John speak about love? No, he doesn't actually use that word. But it's written through these verses. In a world where so many are lonely, Jesus comes bringing the love of God that we might not be ultimately lonely, that we might speak of the friendship and the love of God, because he has entered our world, entered our situation, become one of us forever. Some of us will know of the famous Northern Irish poet Seamus Heaney, written some beautiful and brilliant and deeply moving poems. And he's known, not all of his work is nature poetry, but he is known as a nature poet. And Seamus Heaney was once having a drink with a friend in a friend's house, and they heard a funny rattling in the chimney, didn't know what it was. And his friend went and had a look, crouched up, looked up the chimney, said, "Oh, there's a bird in there. Give me a hand, Seamus. I think we can get it out and set it free." Seamus Heaney looked absolutely fear-struck. And he said to his friend, "I may be a nature poet. I never touch the stuff." And this friend had to scrabble around in this sooty chimney on his own and get the trapped bird out and set it free. God touches the stuff. God who created nature, your nature, took on your nature, took on everything except your natural wrongdoing in Jesus at Christmas. And when Jesus went to that cross for us, he went for the truth. Though he was smeared and crucified by lies, he took the light of God's love, and on the cross, as he paid for our wrongdoing, that light was snuffed out as he took God's punishment in our place. And all the light of his perfect life was extinguished as he gave his life for us. He did all of that, paid that incredible cost, that we might never be lonely away from the love of God, but that we might reach out to Jesus and be welcomed by him. Which leads me to a little question at the end before I close. Have you met him yet? Have you met him yet? And that question is both a reminder and an invitation. Here's a reminder. We will meet him. He is God's appointed Lord and Judge. We will stand before him. And if we stand before him as those who have never cried out to him and opened our lives to him, we will stand before our judge. And it will be too late. But here's the encouragement and the invitation. Meet him now as a saviour, as a friend, as God's truth, light, life, and love. He's speaking to you. Listen to him. Trust him. And discover him. I'm going to pray. Then we're going to enjoy our closing carol. Lord Jesus Christ, we bow our hearts again before the mystery of Christmas. God become man. We thank you, Lord, that you entered our world, that we might be raised up to your world of heaven. And we pray, Lord Jesus, that whatever state of our understanding, whatever our struggles this night, whatever our fears, you would make yourself thrillingly real to each of us and give us the right to become your children as we turn from ourselves and turn to you and know life everlasting. We pray, Lord Jesus, for your name's sake. Amen. Amen.